Go on, Alex.
Are we starting? Yeah. Recording? Okay. And welcome to the Car Culture Podcast. With me, as usual, is myself, obviously. And Dan. Dan, you're here as well, aren't you?
I think so, yeah.
Brilliant, yeah. And yeah. Most importantly, because we never introduced Ahmed on proper before we started.
He's actually here now.
He's actually here for this one, yeah. Ahmed, you decided to grace us with your presence this time, yeah?
Hello.
Yeah, there we go.
Voice, that's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's not important.
But not, our guest is here. Our guest.
Fascinated, he's important.
Yeah. Get faxed. Jen, introduce yourself, because I don't think most of us have met you. You've spoken to a few of us, but
yeah,
for
the people
at home.
I know, I barely know.
Mm. Yeah.
But I'm Jen. The internet knows me as Jen Amazing. My little follower count. But I'm a master detailer, PPF installer, window tint installer, vinyl color change, basically anything that's not mechanical to a car.
With an American accent. So you said yes. From Florida, right?
Yeah, I'm from Florida. Yep.
Okay. So you were doing that before you came here, I guess,
yep.
Right? Okay. So I guess the most important thing is, because people won't know a few of those different words. Let's start off with what those words mean for
Florida.
Those who don't know.
Florida.
Yeah.
Florida.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the worst state.
It's like the appendix of America.
No,
right?
It literally is.
This is where the whole YouTube car guy world like lives, isn't it? Florida.
No. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of influences in general. So
and a lot of cars that are very interesting.
It's the weather's good. Well. It's because we have year-round cars. Like here, it gets too hot.
Yeah.
In the north, it gets too cold. Florida is peak year-round. It's perfect. The only thing
and
we worry about is
very loose
rain.
Registration rules. I know
very
that.
Very loose
like you can
registration
get
rules.
Yeah. So, but you're not here to talk about Florida. You're talking about PPF. You're talking about detailing.
Yeah.
That's the world that you exist in. And I don't know if you noticed, but you're a woman.
Yes.
Which in our scene.
I do know this.
Fucking brilliant. That
in our scene is a rare thing. Yeah. And no, the reason I mentioned this as well was that.
I apologize.
It can be weird. It can be weird as a woman in the scene, right?
Yeah.
And I think in this country.
Yeah, okay, especially so also in this country. But I think the interesting thing was when we talk about guests, we noticed we didn't have a woman on it because we don't really have women in the scene.
Well,
women
we do now, Alex.
Yeah. We do now have one. So I think beyond just that as well, the idea of existing in this world and being a woman where people tend to be a bit weird about this kind of stuff is an interesting kind of avenue to explore in car culture.
It can't be in America, right? I think in America, it's just a normal thing.
I think when I got into cars when I was 16, it was weird. I was are you a lesbian or you're here with your boyfriends type stuff? But that kind of faded out, and especially when it became professional. And to be honest here, I've had zero issues. Zero. Mm. And I don't know if it's because it's such an odd thing. People immediately, there's a respect there because the fact that I even open my mouth about it is a big deal. But
well,
I have
that you know what
no
you're talking
issues.
About as well.
Yeah.
Yeah
I
yeah.
mean, sometimes, depending.
No, I know a lot of people here have no idea what they're talking about. So even, yeah, there we go. That didn't take long. Yeah. But yeah, you said, okay, so detailing, PPF, all that kind of stuff. So to give us a background of what that is, we all know how to build cars and some of them build the cars right and some of them build in stance. But if you weren't building those kind of cars, but you want to protect the paint and do all the stuff, what's the thing that you kind of look after, I guess?
So there's a few different avenues that you can go. So we've got paint protection film, which in the US we also call clear bra, which is a clear polyurethane that sticks to your car and it takes all that impact. And we have ceramic coating, which is basically like extra layers of clear coat. And it's hydrophobic, so it helps keep it clean and saves it from the sun. And then we have color change vinyl. And that's to make it look pretty and protects a little bit, but not as good as paint protection film. So those are the three avenues of protection that I do.
So I guess also the next question goes, how did you end up in
How did you get into it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to work on cars, and I don't know a single mechanic that doesn't hate their life. So
I think all of us are mechanics. We also hate our cars as well. So
yes. So yeah. There was the whole thing. I've worked in dealerships since I was 16, just like moved around positions. And I was a service writer for Kia. And all of the mechanics that I was managing, they hated their lives. And I'm like this weekend warrior. Like, I love working on my car. I still love this. This is great. And ironically enough, a guy I was dating was wrapping cars for a living. So I'd go hang out at his shop on the weekend. I was like, holy shit. I could do this. I don't get dirty. I don't hate my life because mechanics hate their lives. I was like, I could try this. Mm. And then very quickly it turned into, holy shit, there's money in this. I can make money doing this.
Because car wrapping is a new thing, right?
Like it's not super new,
because I hadn't heard of it until like a few years ago. But it seems to have blown up recently, right?
I think it's blown up more. 2013 is when I think the switch happened, at least in the US, where it was more name brand. But now it's like every corner there's a wrap shop.
It definitely had an impact here at some point.
Mm.
But there's a lot of really badly wrapped supercars
here. Avatar Mustangs.
I've never seen such bad work as here in Dubai, and I say that with a heavy heart.
So yeah. Not just the what they've done to it, but the quality
the
of
quality. The quality. The quality is so bad. And I don't know if it's because
taste is subjective, Alex. Remember that.
Yeah, look who's talking.
Yeah.
See?
No, you're fine.
They go both ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. But the quality of the work, you're saying, right?
It's terrible. And I feel bad saying that, but I think maybe it's because we're so rushed or because people want to spend so little that it just gets people to just do what they can in that amount of time.
Spend so little. That's got to be quite an interesting point, right?
That's new.
From coming from the US to here.
Yeah. In the US, I had all my clients trained. These are my prices. This is what it entails. Here, it's like better price, best price.
I can get that done here for,
Yeah, literally.
Go around the corner then and do it.
Yeah, and I've got ones like, you're almost as expensive as this other shop, but I'm not as expensive, so almost is still better, and you're getting better quality, so
do you know what here it is. The price difference is between the US and the UAE as such?
Astronomical, like a quarter of the price. So in the US, I'd be charging $4,000 for a wrap. Here people are doing it for $1,500. I see ads on Instagram for $500.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I send links to all my business friends in Florida, and I'm like, this is what I'm dealing with now.
And can you break that down in terms of like people are delivering here cheaper?
Yeah.
What are the downfalls when you go that route? And what do you get if you actually do it properly?
So a lot of these cheaper places are using cheap film. So the vinyl's only going to last you a year, 2 years. They say three, but it never does.
And I guess our weather conditions are probably not the best.
No.
Yeah, we have some of the worst climate as well.
If anywhere in the world you were going to use good film, it would be here. And they don't.
So is it the film that makes a difference? Or also the application, I guess?
Application. So I take a lot of pieces off of the car. Here, they don't break them down at all. Mm. Here, I use a lot of expensive like knifeless tape and things like that. They're using just blades on a car. And I post on my Instagram a lot of things that I find here in Dubai where there's just cut marks all the way down like hoods of cars because they just seamed it down the middle and then took it off
later.
And
I presume these are like not cheap cars.
Mm. No, of course they're not. Because a cheap car is not going to spend 15,000 dirhams to PPF their car. They're just not.
Because what's the point of PPF? You're going to scratch it with a blade. You know
that's
what I
mean? That's my point. If you're spending that much money, at least spend a little bit more so you're not screwing it up even more.
But I think that's with most things out here, that like it becomes the cheapest thing, then people start to like understand what you pay for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially like to your point, Dan, it's like one of the places in the world you'd think people want to protect their car is here. But maybe because people don't spend enough time here for the car to get damaged before they sell it, they don't care.
Yeah, but in that case, then just don't get PPF at all. If you're someone who overturns their car every year, there's no need. There's none. If you're someone who keeps your car for 4 or 5 years that you really want to protect it, that's where paint protection foam comes in.
And wrap as well, because I think loads of these cars are white and people get quite bored of white.
They want pink and gold.
Yeah, why not?
It looks better, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It looked different.
The only lucky thing is chrome vinyl is technically illegal here in Dubai, I found out. Or else I think every other car would be chrome. So chrome vinyl. So like the mirrored reflection that you see.
Yeah. Like Johnny Boys.
Oh, SRT John Boy.
Yeah, no.
He's a big guy.
Shifting.
No, that's color shifting.
Is that shimmering?
That's a big difference in chrome. Lamp,
okay.
Chrome is like looking into a mirror. Literally.
Yeah, but then I've heard like, again.
So why is that illegal?
Well, have you seen the sun here? Because I can imagine it's not the most comfortable thing driving down the road.
I've seen a couple of
them. And you get blinded by Midas. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've seen a Bugatti that was blue chrome. But he probably knew somebody. But
what was the number plate like?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't remember.
He's got to have money.
Probably.
Anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably paid. To be fair, he probably didn't pay too much for the wrap. I don't know.
No, it's probably free.
I do see like people with expensive cars though, and poor maintenance. Number one, I see it here. Like there've been some interesting stuff. You must have seen on Instagram, like people taking their, you know, whatever.
Oh, Gary's turned up to weird places.
Charger, right?
Yeah.
You know,
it's normally the third owner. Do you know what I mean? The first one bought it on finance, right? And he has
a plan. Be the first
second one as well. They bought it off him. The third owner is just like, you know what? This E55 AMG or E63 AMG, whatever this AMG is going straight to Ajman. Yeah. And it's getting Ajman quality. Nothing wrong with Ajman, by the way. Because I'm about to get banned from an
more
Emirate.
Than that, but. You know, like newish Ferraris or Bentleys and stuff down a dark side of Sharjah.
Hmm.
But
the thing is, I've seen in Hong Kong, if you see the garages in Hong Kong, right, they are on the street, but they're doing good work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily like the geographic location.
I was about to say there is some good stuff you can do in Sharjah, but
Yeah, but I barely know the politics here. And so luckily my husband does. So it's like, hey, babe, let's go look at this Porsche. It's in Sharjah. And he's like,
We can't get our cars into Sharjah. Legally or not, I have to drive my cars into Sharjah. Yeah.
So that's why you're here. Because of Adrian.
Yes, yeah.
Not out of choice.
No. I mean, okay. So it was either...
He's in the room as well, by the way.
Yeah.
For those listening, my husband's French, so it was either go back to France or come here because of our politics with COVID in the US.
I could say something, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
As a Brit, what are you going to say about France?
Yeah. So as we're sitting in France freezing cold, he gets a job offer back in Dubai because he's lived here for a long time. And it was like, okay, Dubai car culture and it's warm. I'm freezing on this couch. Can we go like right now? Let's just pack our bags and go.
So that's interesting. So your experience with Dubai has been relatively recently, right? So what's the first impression from a total perspective of what the scene is here? Because each of us have been here for quite some time, but seeing it through fresh eyes might be quite interesting.
I think the scene here is a lot more inviting than the US. I think the US, it's more established and very cliquey. I think here, because it's such a melting pot, everyone is very inviting because they're all outsiders. So when everyone's an outsider, they're it's a lot
more
welcoming.
As well, right?
So. Yeah. So like the people that I've met here, they're super friendly. They're super welcoming. It's really easy to get to know them because they're used to getting to know new people. You don't get that in Miami. Miami's very clicky. Very, oh, do you know this person? Oh, I know them. Like that.
Mm. I think it's probably similar to the UK as well in some ways.
I'm sure.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think it's, like you said, it's places that have been around for a long time and they've built, like cultures built on top of cultures, built on top of cultures. Mm-hmm. It's hard to crack, but yeah, people come and go from this place for so long and people come here knowing no one. I know people I work with that have almost like one or two friends because they don't know people outside of work, right? So you kind of cling and you kind of go for communities outside of what you do more than anywhere else, right?
Cars is a community, right?
Well, everyone has to be in a car.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
everyone has to have an Instagram account on their car. One, very important, right? And number two, you have to be part of a community of it, whether or not be, I can't name them, can I? No,
because we'll get an application from Dubai e-crimes again. Right?
Yeah. So, to that point, I guess what's the difference? And not as a PPF person or app person, but as a car fan, the good and bad sides of car culture, because we're carculture.ee about here, so it's nice and open. But what would you like to change? And I think the way in for that question is like you said quality of. Yeah. Let's start there, let's say. Like, what would you like to see?
I think we need more quality. I think we need more people who are genuinely interested in the cars doing the work. When you bring a car to me, like my clients know that I care more about their car than they do. But a lot of shops around here, it's just a conveyor belt of cars. Car comes in, car gets worked on, car gets kicked out. And that's a shame to me. I just did that GTR I did a couple of weeks ago. I spent an entire week with a fine tooth comb going through that car. And I haven't seen a single other shop that like is willing to put that much passion into it yet. And I'm not saying they don't exist. I don't want to badmouth the people here, but I have yet to see that.
There are very expensive places here as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of like not super crazy exclusive, but cares about the work kind of place is something, even from a garage perspective, is something I think we're
definitely
lacking.
Definitely exclusive places, possibly in your line of business.
Yeah, but even the most expensive places here are still cheaper than the US. So it cracks me up when people are like, oh, that place is super expensive.
Because I remember like PPF, I got quoted 18 to 20.
And honestly, like, that's fair. That's a fair price in the US.
And that was one of the really big places here, right? It is weird. Maybe because people don't know about it yet, it's been around for longer, so people recognize the value.
Yeah.
Painting a car has been around for years, right?
Yeah, but it's
a
lot
harder. You can still get a car painted for 2,000 dirhams here.
Yeah, and that's scary. I've seen those paint jobs too. Yeah. Those are even worse.
What's really good about them is that you can actually see who did it because they left the fingerprints in the car.
No, Liv, you're not even kidding.
Do you know
kidding.
What really annoys me though, especially when it comes to painters, I've actually seen someone... And I'm not going to name them, but we're good friends anyway. He wouldn't really care. It's Hamza.
There we go. The last one. Yeah. Oh, 3 seconds.
But like, so he doesn't care. Because, you know, he's like, I did it cheaply. You paid 2,000 dirhams for a paint job. And it's actually way better than some people that I've seen spend 10, 12.
Well, to your point, it's like, I can imagine even if it's 2,000 dirhams, the person that did it liked cars.
Yes.
Or like that car specifically, right?
Specifically that car, or was a friend, or,
Would you
know
say, so going back to the industry in the US, do you think that the majority of people working in the industry have a passion for what they're doing.
I think a bigger majority have a passion. And I also think as Americans, we're a lot more complainy. We're the country of Yelp. So if a job isn't good, every single person and your mother is going to know the job's not good. Here, it's like, okay, it is what it is. And they move
especially
on.
Especially if it's clicky, because everyone's going to talk exactly. to everyone else.
You know, if you do one AMG wrong, the whole AMG club is spited you for life. Actually, yeah, so there's a lot more pressure in the US to perform well, I think. But I think the quality of cars here is much nicer. Like, I drive down the road, I see 17 Lambos and a Bugatti just on the drive here.
Yeah, but they also get them, they get themselves shoved, like serviced in Ajman as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah, true. But in even in Miami, and we're a pretty affluent area, there's not that quality of like big cars there. So that's my biggest change here.
I like this because I fucking hate Lambos. Like, and you've just said there's a lot of, you know, define quality of cars.
Okay, there's an influx of very expensive cars here that I haven't gotten the experience to play with.
So what cars were you working on in the US?
So, I mean, normal cars. I made a really good business with Teslas, which is a little bit besides the point. But
they've got their own problems.
Yeah, they have their own problems.
Because I know there's a whole industry in America, just to go on a tangent, fixing Teslas.
Hippies. Oh, yeah.
I've seen, what are they called? I don't know what they're called, but the little paint things, you can check the depth levels and whatever. I've seen Teslas come out the shop. From Tesla with thinner paint than Honda's over the like a few years old.
Let's right? just say Tesla's a shit.
Yeah. If you get a silver one, you're great because it's
technology's great, car is shit. I can agree with that one. No, but Tesla's, I've had paint protection film because it has such a strong adhesive. Take off paint the second it comes from the shop. So like 3 miles on the car and it's already pulling paint because the paint is that bad. And so that's why there was such a big influx in the US of Tesla owners, because they knew their cars were shit and they needed to protect them and make them better.
And listen, Tesla shouldn't make cars, right?
No.
They should just make powertrains.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
So why like Audi, Skateboard. Porsche, who have been building cars for years and years.
Well,
and
Rimac, whatever they're called, which is in the Croatia stand, by the way, if anyone's going to Expo 2020, Dubai.
We might have to cut some of that intro in, really. But
yeah, why not? Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway.
So you're talking about the US and what you worked on, yeah.
So then, but a lot of like normal cars, higher end BMW, Mercedes, all of those. Here, it's switched very quickly into every other call I get is for a G-Wagon. Like things like that.
Car,
yeah. Which in the US, that's not a staple car. In the US, that's the hardest car to do.
I'd never really noticed G-Wagons until I came here.
Neither did I.
Yeah. It's strange. It is really strange. We've been here too long now. So like.
Yeah. Do you know what call a G-Wagon? It's a white car.
It's a white car.
Right, yeah.
But the funniest thing is that's the hardest car almost in our industry to do. In the US, that's what we see it. And here it's like every other car is a G-Wagon. So you got to adapt really quickly.
I think, how long have you been here now for?
8 months, not
eight
long.
8 months.
Yeah.
Because it will wear off, I think.
Yeah.
And honestly, you've seen Dubai COVID, right? You know what I mean? Like the scene, once it's back to normalish, it is very different, right?
There's a lot of, but I think I get numb to it now. I don't think. Yeah, I'm fortunate enough, I guess you would say, but I don't really think I'm that fortunate to see cars that you wouldn't necessarily see.
Because I think you've seen them now and you see them again. And I guess I used to live in Marina. Yeah.
But so like for me, I get this. The last time I went back to England, I went to Cafe in the Machine and I stayed the night there and I got up in the morning and there was like 7 or 8 EG Hondas, I think, and EK Hondas like lined up on the grass.
Yeah.
And all the owners were there and they were like in their like mid-30s, mid-40s maybe. And like the cars were just like flawless. And I was just like walking around them going, why the fuck do I live in Dubai? Because this gets me. And I'll go out and I'll see whatever cars are showing.
Another event.
It doesn't get me.
Or a G-Wagon. Like,
you know, but maybe it's just because I've lived here for 13 years.
Yeah, for me it's still shiny and new.
Yeah.
Like, on a personal level, moving here, I had no issues, none, no culture shock at all. Business-wise, I'd be lying if I didn't say that yes. Yeah, totally.
So what's the similarities and differences in terms of culture and car culture, I guess?
So between like the car culture here, again, is way more inviting. That's literally the biggest part because the same cars are here other than the very expensive ones in Miami. We still have the same classic Porsches. We still have the same JDM club, like all of that stuff. But here it's just, I immediately fell into a whole group of wonderful people. And like, even you guys, we've talked one time before this and now we can all sit down and talk.
Yeah. We're begging people to come on this podcast.
Also, don't flatter myself. Got it.
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't happen. It would not happen in Miami. So that's way better way.
Yeah. I think it is. Yeah. We're smaller, much smaller and way more moving.
almost loosen it in a good way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so when someone new comes or a new car comes onto the scene, I think...
We invite it because we've seen every single car, every single show.
From our side, it's very tough because it's kind of like living in central London. Has 11 million people, probably more than
7.5 that live there. Another 7.5 traveling every single day. That's 15 million people in London.
UAE, we're 11 or 12 or something?
No, we're 8. 9, yeah. I think. Actually, 9 now.
So, like, we are... It's kind of weird. I grew up in a small town where if you do something, everyone knows about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much the same here, right? Just on a much, much bigger scale.
Because it is a village. Car culture is a village here, right? And like you said, every single person knows every single other person's car, what they're doing, what they're building. Even if you're building something in secret, you knew about Thingy's car.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, Ryan's car. Yeah,
Ryan's car.
It is. Yeah, I guess it's hard to keep things a secret here. And people,
it's a super small world. Yeah. Even a client came in and I was like, oh, what's your Instagram so I can tag you real quick? And I had already been following him. I was like, I didn't even remember following you. The community is that small.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not big, is it really? Let's talk about business though. Like, I think that for when I came here a long, long, long time ago, I was shocked, culturally shocked about business.
Yeah, it's been such a hard transition business-wise, but also not. Being a female, I immediately was like, everyone wanted to hire me because it's, for them,
we've seen Instagram ads, by the way. Because every single damn shop here has an Instagram ad.
This is a great culture. Who started it? Can we name him?
I can't remember.
Probably not.
Yeah. I actually don't remember.
Shaking his head. You can say no, Ahmed.
So wait, so we're going to do it. Like, it's literally just walking down and this woman who's on it. And it's not because this woman, but this woman has no clue.
She had this really dumb start. She was like, I can't say the words because we'll probably get caught. And she's like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you want to do this, but we do it better. Yeah. And no idea, no nothing. And that was kind of what we see with women.
So one workshop did it, and now every other big workshop has done it.
Yeah, so I know exactly who you're talking about. And the very original one of those is very good at her job, very. And so now everyone else is trying to emulate that one woman, and it just makes me laugh now that we have got 20 cute blonde girls trying to sell stuff.
Walking through garages.
Yeah, it's literally walking through. And they're all British, sorry.
Well, no, but that's
the thing. I get offended.
No, but you're right, because Abu Dhabi is a lot more American.
You need to come to Essex.
Like. Yeah. But even in the
everyone's
company,
your cousin in Essex.
The company I work for now, I'm the only American.
So you work for a British company?
I work for a British company. Okay, yeah. So now it's like, what does that mean? What is that joke? So they're like teaching me all of the little lingos that you guys use. Like, I didn't even know there was a difference between a quid and a pound. I thought it was like our dollar and cents. Like, I'm that culturally unaware.
A quid is a pound,
isn't
it?
Is it? I thought it was a pound.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Here's another thing Brits do.
They take the piss out of you, so they might be lying.
Listen, most English people here are absolute wankers, to be honest.
And they buy wanker cars.
Yeah. I put in for vacation time and they're like, oh, you're going on a hollybob? I'm like, what the fuck's a hollybob?
See, that's another one. Made up, never a thing. Just what we should do now is start like a consultation. You can send us a thing.
Do we have any English followers?
Yeah, are they screwing with me?
Do we have any English followers?
Yeah, half the scene is English here.
Are they?
Yeah.
It's pretty big. I know one other American and he calls me his unicorn.
We know Thad.
Thad, yeah.
Is he American?
No, sorry.
He is. He's seriously cool.
He's from Florida as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He's like, again, talking about how small this is. He's best mates with Thingy off the Smoking Tire.
Matt,
what's his name?
Matt Farah.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, follow me so we can be friends.
That's what we all think, yeah. Yeah, but Abu Dhabi seems to be a lot more American because I think they're closer to the government, whereas here is a lot more British because they're a lot more close.
Do we have a lot of English? I'm just trying to think now, apart from
Andy and Andy.
Right. Yeah.
John Boy, he's pretty big.
Yeah, but he wears odd socks.
Half of the world.
Far from English.
You're English. Tom, I'm kind of English.
Tom in the Porsche scene.
Yeah, our Porsche scene is half British, half French, it feels like.
That's probably why I don't know too much.
That's why you don't gel with the Porsche people.
Yeah, I don't see that. I'm still stuck at this. Is there a lot of English people? You work at
You don't English notice place. It, yeah. But yeah, because here's a good example. Radio, right? The radio stations are either Aussie or British.
Mm, they're all British.
Yeah, exactly. Apart from Chris Fade.
Is he the annoying one?
He's the Australian one.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. I don't listen to radio.
You might have heard him at some point living here.
I don't listen to radio and it really annoys me. Like, it's one person's thoughts, really. Anyway.
So do you want to talk about cars? Yeah.
No, not really.
Yeah.
I'm still stuck on the whole English thing. Definitely working for English people must be interesting for sure.
I mean, it's easy. It's not too hard.
But you're working at a place that has a workshop and...
Yeah, so what they started as, they started out as a service department, and it's a lovely British couple, and then all of their management on that side is British. And then on my side, I came on board to just install because I wanted to relax, and I had a British GM who has now left, who I've replaced. So now I'm the only American management at all.
And that's one thing I've noticed here as well, was the ability to climb quickly.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like the American dream doesn't exist in America. It exists here.
Yeah, right? It does. Do you know what I mean? You're not wrong.
You can do a lot here.
Talk about salaries. Like, because I've...
No, you, this is your podcast, man. No.
No, this has been the real... I just think... I don't know. Do Americans earn too much in America? Like, there seems
they
to be...
They have to pay tax here. Remember that.
There seems to be a lot of disposable income in America. Like,
let's say my...
But I'm watching life through YouTube, by the way, so I don't speak to any of these guys. I'm just seeing stuff. I'm like, this is mental.
Yeah, without saying numbers, my salary for what I do for a living got cut in half moving here.
I can literally cut in half. Yeah.
Yeah, but half is in tax, so is it about the same?
Yeah, but the taxes in Florida, we don't have income tax, so we only have federal. So Florida is the mecca for no tax, which is why everyone moves there.
And Vegas.
Mosquitoes, yeah. Alligators. I'm trying to stop Dan from leaving. Yeah.
They're really not that bad.
Have they legalized weed yet?
No. No, we've got medicinal though, so that's nice.
Same.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Literally the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh. I've got dandruff.
Glaucoma.
Yeah.
Asymptomatic glaucoma.
I know someone
glaucoma.
Who got diagnosed for asthma. My dad listens to this. What am I doing?
He did tell us to stop swearing.
He did literally tell us, yeah. He shares it on LinkedIn.
But your dad's actually a legend.
By the time we get to this one, it's probably not. Yeah.
Oh, we're not supposed to swear?
No, it's a bit late now. Trust me, we're not doing this again. We only got the studio for another 5 minutes.
So that generally, are we talking across the board? I know.
No, I don't think across the board. I think in my area here, I think labor is very cheap and my job is very labor intensive. So it's easy to like skirt people in. In the US, it's more of a craft and a talent thing.
I think people are used to cheap labor here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a shame because it's like your hands are worth the same.
Yeah.
And exactly. It is a sad thing here that people aren't willing to pay for labor as much. It's the first thing when you do anything here, you go to the bill and you're like, you know, can you make me discount on labor?
Yeah. Why? And I'm very lucky I work for a British company because I had people trying to poach me at like, hey, come work 6 days a week, 4,000 dirhams.
I was about to say,
Do
you now work 6 days a week?
No, I don't. Okay. That was my one caveat.
That's how you're here.
That was my one caveat.
Underneath the camera, by the way, it's just kind of like cut in.
That was the other biggest thing here. I feel it's quite work central. I'm sure you work late nights as well.
I'm very good at planning and I'm very good at delegating. Like even us being 5 minutes late to start, like that does not happen in my workshop.
He was 45 minutes late.
Well.
he's not going to live this one down.
Because I value my free time.
Good job you're not on camera now, man.
But I see it in a lot of workshops here, they're working till late.
Yeah, and they do that by choice. No one makes you do that. No one makes you plan your day like that.
No, I think that there is an expectation of service here that is weird because there's two kinds of classes of people, those who serve and those who get served. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's true. Because I had somebody just yesterday text my work phone, will you come in on your day off, just wash it today? No, absolutely not. Nope, that's not happening.
But that's a different thing from culture, right? Like
in
the US, I think we, or even in the UK, you see the person who works on your thing as your equal. But here, there's an unfortunate kind of like expectation that people go, well, no, you're working for me.
Oh, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, you have to do it for me. No.
Because I'm paying you.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're not paying me enough.
No. And I want a discount on labor. Because labor isn't parts. Labor's me. I'm the labor. Do you know what I mean? Or like that person's the labor. Yeah. So I guess that's a difference, right?
Yeah. And I'm US factory trained for paint protection, actually for everything that I do. So I know for sure that I'm the only female that's certified for all four things that I do in the entire Middle East. There is not anyone else like me. So that's a nice.
So when
are
we getting the video?
So that's a nice humble
brag. Can we get the video walking through the workshop?
Yeah.
That's what we all want now. Huh?
Yeah. And so I want to see more women in here. Like I told, I need to hire a PPF assistant soon. And I was like, it will be female.
Do you think it's easy though for someone, let's say like my wife suddenly decided, I hope she fucking doesn't, by the way, but I want to start wrapping cars.
It's very easy to start. It's not easy to get respect. She could go in and get hired anywhere just because she's a female.
4,000 dirhams?
Just because she's a female. That doesn't mean that they'll respect her and they'll look at her like, oh, she just got this because she's a female. Hmm. So it's easy to start, not easy to keep, if that makes sense.
I think I should get a blonde wig.
Dan, I'd love to see it. I think every single one of us would pay money for this podcast. So Dan just going, so tell us about cars. Yeah.
But my
I'm
favorite
sure I've
thing,
done it before as well.
My
we don't even know that.
My favorite thing here in Dubai, though, is the women are into it because they want attention. The women are into it because they really like cars, for the most part. There's exceptions.
Is there, like, we haven't even touched on this. Is there a real lack of women in our scene, I think.
Way.
But like genuine women.
Way.
Like not... There is a, I don't know, again, we there's can't number, name the,
you can get women to sit on your car.
There's a women's car club here, yeah. Right? But like, don't say
no,
it.
No, we can't say it.
But they're, and well, not, what, not, not one of them, I don't like.
They're in the same club as the Birkin Owners Club. That's all yes. I have to say.
But what?
Literally.
But not one of them is like a part of the scene.
Right? Or do they no. own the car?
You know, I've seen one of them out at the track, just one, and it was for 5 minutes and then they took off. That was it.
They're not, so I know you haven't been here too long and the event scene hasn't really, it's existed to kick off now. But I think.
Were you here for the picnic? Because I think that was the last big grand thing before. Picnic. The grand picnic and the Dubai Drive.
No, I wasn't. I saw pictures.
So that basically, you've only been here for the event we had at Dubai Autodrome, which you were there.
Yeah, which was lovely.
And Dubai Drives.
Yeah.
But bar the other small, there's been a lot of other small events. Yeah, but I'd say they're the two bigger events.
We do like little Porsche drives and stuff like that too. Mm. But in big meets, no, that was the first big.
What is interesting, even when I take my girlfriend, people are like surprised to hear and know and like cars. Because it's not a thing here. People expect like, oh, you're going to sit on that now, right? It's like, no.
Yeah.
I like it. Like, tell me more about it. And it is weird.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's true.
The first
meet. Is Courtney listening?
Yeah. Because Courtney has, no, but that's the thing I talk about Courtney. Because I talked to Courtney after the show and she's like, why is everyone so shocked that like I like cars? Do you know what I mean? It's weird for her because
but she comes to shows, right?
Yeah, she comes to show and like in her job she works with cars as well.
Yeah,
so people are surprised because she works in advertising for cars. People are surprised that she knows and she likes to know about cars.
That will never go away. It has not gone away for me yet. Not yet. The first show that we were here, I was like talking with Adrian and this guy's like, oh, do you like cars too? And I'm like, oh yeah, a little
red
bit.
Ones, yeah?
Yeah. I was like, oh, a little bit. Pink and then lights. later on a Ferrari drove by and it was the last car I worked on before I moved. So I was like, oh babe, look, that's the last car I worked on. And this guy's like, I thought you said you liked cars a little bit. And I was like, well, I mean, technically you said that. I was like, I just agreed with you.
You inferred, yeah.
Yeah, I agreed with you. I'm not going to sit here and let you quiz me to see if I actually like cars.
I still think a lot of the people that come to these events are not fully into cars.
No, either. Of course not.
Like, so who are they?
I don't know.
Them specifically, no, but like as
I know,
groups.
Like that. I think there's a core scene of people. So let's take the Dubai Autodrome event. What was it called, Hash?
Track 2. Oh, the Expo, yeah.
There's a lot of people there. Before, it used to be such a lot smaller.
More insular.
And we, like, it was just the car guys.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether it's COVID has kind of blown it out of the water as such.
People want to go out and do stuff. But there's a lot of prams.
There's a lot of new faces. And I wouldn't
say
that
there's a lot of people that sit on cars and get in cars. Because it was a job itself to get people to stay out of your car or trying to open your car.
Oh, that's an American problem too. So glad to know that's here.
Yeah, it's bad
in England, we're pretty well respected. Especially in the shows that I go to.
You should get crowd protection first.
No, in the US, kids are sitting in your seat by the time you get back. Like, we just lock our doors.
Even here, they've broken the handle off.
It's childish.
Like, I couldn't get in.
Oh, no.
I don't like that. That's one thing that I really hate here. I think it's someone else. It doesn't matter what car it is. And it doesn't matter the amount of money that's been put into it. I think it's disrespect that you kind of, like, touch or sit or jump. We had one car damaged at an event.
Yeah.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Crowd protection film might be a whole thing. You can do it for April Fool's Day. Yeah. Like a new thing. I'll guarantee it'll go viral. People would be willing to pay for it.
You got to be careful with PPF, though, because here they oversell it because shops are so money hungry that a lot of these cars that they're wrapping that are like classic JDM, classic Porsche and things that they're wrapping with paint protection film, when they take it off, we'll pull paint. It's going to pull the paint. Yeah, it's overselling it. I love paint protection film. That's my life. But I turn clients away every single day because I know in 5 years when they take it off, it's going to pull paint and it's going to do more damage than a couple of rock chips they would have gotten.
So, but let's
say... Is that all PPF as well? Hmm? Is that all PPF or like bad PPF?
No, it's all PPF because the adhesive's so strong. So if the clear coat's shitty and the clear and the adhesive's really strong, it's going to take it with it.
So there is a way, I wanted to make sure because I don't know about this, there is a way of doing PPF without damaging the paint underneath eventually.
Yes. Yeah, so you usually want to do it on newer cars with newer paint. And the way you take
none
it
of
off,
us have new cars here.
No, exactly. If you came in and asked for me to PPF your GTR, I would tell you no.
Yeah, even if you clear coat it and do extra stuff?
I would tell you no. I don't trust the paint jobs here in Dubai, first of all. And second of all, there'd be a disservice.
And what happens if it is OEM paint from Japan?
So then you less risk, but I will still warn you. This is a classic car, la la la. You don't really know if someone's repainted a panel at some point or not. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows for sure. So I would warn you. But I'd still do it anyways if you wanted.
I think that's one thing we are missing here, like expertise and the willingness to say, I don't just want to take your money.
Yeah.
I'm here to...
I'm sure I've mentioned this before, that I think that here's a real, I'm going to put 1 million or half a million or 1.5 million into a business, and I want to get income straight away.
Straight away.
Not this long-term plan of if you do things properly.
It builds.
It will build and build and build, and then you'll become established. I still think this place is way too fast moving where people just want to put money in, take money out.
Yep, and that's what my experience has been. It took me 6 months to find a company I was willing to put my name behind. 6 months. So.
Yeah, I don't know the wrapping and PPF industry that well, but I've been around long enough to know there's way too many, you know,
it's people the same thing flitting in out,
you know.
Yeah, I'm not even pretending to advertise for color change vinyl because you can go get it done for 2,000 dirhams in 4 hours. There's enough people just that don't care about quality at all. It's not worth me.
So the color change, when you pull it off as well, and it's just taking the paint off.
Yeah,
well.
I mean,
it's a whole color change.
So color change can take the paint off too, but it's a lot less risky. The adhesive's not as strong.
Well, I think this is educational. Is there anything else we should know, by the way? Because I think quite a few of our listeners don't know more. Yeah, like, before, I was going to say final thoughts, but like actually give us an education on PPF. Because I think quite a few of us, there are myths and there are things that people don't know or like assume and stuff. What's the basics, I guess?
So, well, the big thing too is
Well,
paint protection film is paint protection. It's not paint perfection. So a lot of shops here want to pretend that like, they're doing it and there's absolutely no seams showing, nothing. And that's where you get more risk of it failing in the future. If you educate your clients, hey, you've got a 32-piece bumper that I'm going to have to seam in a few places, they're okay with that. But here we've oversold it like it's snake juice, like, or snake oil, like it's perfect when it's not. It's paint protection. Mm-hmm. We try to make it as perfect as possible. But if you see a seam here and there, that's to make sure that it lasts you as long as it possibly can. And the same with vinyl, with color change. If you just stick it to the edge and cut, you're much more likely for it to start peeling back and only last you 6 months, which here I've seen.
I've seen that a lot. Those matte black wraps when they came a thing. Yep. It was quite funny to see those things flapping about literally. When people are driving around, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, and is there anything else? Like final thoughts, I guess. But
no.
As a person, and with all 30 listeners here,
four. Keep saying that. We hit 300.
We get 40 sometimes.
Yeah. Hey, I listen to you guys while I work, I'm polishing. Yeah.
But is there something you'd like them to take away from all the things we've talked about? Final thoughts as well, because we talk enough.
I think that you need to look into how much money you're spending on things and realize there's a value to the money that you're putting into it. There's a difference between overcharging, but you should pay for quality work. And I think that's something that this car culture is lacking in this country. But everything else is amazing. That's my only gripe with Dubai.
It's okay. No,
only one.
The people that probably don't listen to this are the immigration officers, so we'll be fine.
We love Dubai. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dan, anything else?
No.
No.
Brilliant. Done. Hey. That'll do.